Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning. Seems like the Lord keeps giving me little thoughts about the wheel and the spokes in it. And so we're just, I guess, as long as the Lord keeps giving and is inspiring me. And I pray that the Lord will make it a blessing to us. I believe that there are things that support our spiritual experience with the Lord. Our walk with Him is vital. And to put in place those things in our life that will support that and not work against it. There's things that can be missing in our life that will put us at a real disadvantage when it comes to the long haul or it comes to bearing weight for the Lord, bearing weight in our own Christian life. There's things that can limit that. That if they're missing in our life, there's also things we can have in our life that will trouble us. And the Lord wants us to have good, strong things. These spokes here in this wheel are nice and they're strong. They're tight. I believe that wheel, if the bearings are good in it too, I think it could bear some weight. And you know, I think the Lord wants us to be able to also. It's real important because this life isn't just about you and me. It's about others, the work of the Lord. Also, last week we talked about being consistent and how that God, the scripture says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The scripture says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. My mercy is still there. If I wasn't the same as I was yesterday, you would be consumed for your sin." And so the Lord is wanting to reach out to us. And so I just wanted to mention one more thing, at least about last week. Let's remember that God is not boring. God is colorful. He has personality. The things He made is just filled with personality, color, differences. Differences in people, difference in the way they think, talk, understand, everything. And the Lord is in that. He made it that way. And it's a beautiful picture when you look at the world and you see all the things God has made. From the little tiny creatures that we didn't even know was there until microscopes found it, to the great big behemoths and whales and all those things. That's God, isn't it? Well, you know, I think about this morning, and I pray that the Lord would help us, because I really believe that the things that we put into our life and allow God to put into our life will really support what He's trying to do in our lives. And so I want to think this morning about understanding. We put on the board, spiritual health, a good understanding. You know, the scripture, maybe we'll start in Ephesians 5 and 17 and read here what Paul said. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Aren't we kind of amazed today at the different understandings people have? They do. They have different understandings of what constitutes the basic elements of life, like marriage. Well, where do we get our understandings? Where does it come from? He says here, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, we readily recognize those big issues like that. But what about the many smaller issues that make up our life that change our life from one of constant troubles and needs to one of victory? And we all are going to fight. We're all going to battle. But our life should be more than just that. And the Lord wants us to have those things. And so the scripture says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we do, it will support our life in the Lord. It'll support what He's trying to do in our life. So let's ask the Lord, "Lord, open my life and my mind and my understanding and give me your understandings this morning." You know, you look back up Paul said this here in the 17th verse he wrote, but let's look back up at the first part of it. And he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And so he prefaces this thing with follow the Lord like a dear child follows their parents, like they obey. Be that way. Be a dear child. Be one that you're not constantly at odds with, but be a child that is looking for those good things. And he says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then he goes on and he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. You know, these things become critical to our life, don't they? And so he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance of the kingdom in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, the scriptures tell us here, don't be deceived. Understand what the will of the Lord is. We live in a world today that it is beyond our imagination, the deception taking place in people's minds. It's beyond. Could we not say it's beyond our imagination? The deceptions, the misunderstandings of everything in people's minds today. Where is it lost and why? I have to think there's a reason and there's a way for it not to be that way. And Paul says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, then there must be a way to understand what the will of the Lord is, if that's the commandment. So there must be some way for us to be able to have some understanding in our life. Our life consists of many elements. Our life consists of a lot of decisions, a lot of questions, a lot of things that we have to decide on. And Paul says, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And he goes back and starts prefacing before he says that with all these other things. Follow the Lord like a dear child. Be one of his little children. Get up close to him and love him. And let him love you. And love his people and let them love you. And allow these things in your lives. And he says, all this stuff of wickedness and evil, don't be a part of it and don't be deceived. It's not the will of the Lord. Not only is it not the will of the Lord, but no one that partakes of those things are going to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so when we understand those things, it helps us, doesn't it? Helps us to not go there. It helps us to not be deceived by all the vain talkers of our world today that's promoting that, you know, you can be a Christian and do all of these things. You know, we're not here to bash people, anybody. I'm here to show there's a light, folks. There's a light, and it gives understanding. His words give light in our life. And how we long for the Lord to give us understandings that will make our lives healthy, godly, holy. Make our influences healthy, godly, and holy. And all of those things. Oh Lord, open my understanding and teach me that I don't be a fool in this world. We don't want to be that, do we, this morning? And so I want to, that word understanding that we read, if you look in the Greek, it simply says to put together. I'm reading parts of it here, but this is what applies to put together. That is mentally to comprehend. And so when he says, I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is, let's comprehend it and let's put it together in our mind. Let the Lord put it together. It comes from his word to begin with, and we'll get there in a minute to that. But I want to think for a moment. It goes on and has a lot of other things to say there. Don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Folks, what we allow ourselves to become a part of, what we allow ourselves to become involved in, affects us. And he says, don't you have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, because it'll rub off on you. Pretty soon we'll have darkness too. And so he says it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There's a lot of things done. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So this morning I just trust God will look into our lives and give us a little of His amazing understanding. His wisdom that He built the world with. His wisdom that He made the human body with. His understanding of how it works. When we understand a little of it, it awes us beyond measure. Oh, they understand now. They understand DNA. They're going to be able to map out what's happening. And we're just trying to understand some of what God made. And yet He has all of that. Those pools, those oceans of knowledge and understanding and the things of God are in the Lord. And they're available to us. He wants to make available to us what we need out of that. And we couldn't take it all in if we wanted to. But we can sure open our hearts and take a bunch in, can't we? Everything this old body can take in, the Lord wants to give us today. Now let's look back at Proverbs 16 and 22 and see what the wise man wrote here. He said, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. And you know, when I read this, I love this verse, because to me this verse is very precious. Listen to what it says. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it. Do you know that that is a precious thing? What, a wellspring? Talking about something bubbling up. Talking about something flowing. Talking in scriptures, that word is used as fountain, issue, spring, well, or wellspring. It's used like that in scripture. And so I won't read the whole thing there, but it's a source. And so understanding is like that for our lives. I really believe the Lord wants our heart to thirst after the understanding of the Lord in our life. It'll help us be better parents. It'll help us be a better husband or wife. It'll help us. It'll help us. It'll just help us with our, when we're training our children, it'll help us to understand better. It'll help us to know, no, it's not okay for me to yell like that. Because some people think it is. But the scriptures tell us that's not the way of the Lord. They tell us that, the scriptures tell us that wisdom, it's first peaceable. Look at James 3 down toward the end. There, it's first peaceable, and then it's gentle and easy to talk to, easy to be entreated. And, you know, that's what the scriptures tell us. But understanding is a wellspring. It's what feeds. It feeds the thirst. It fills the thirst. So, Lord, open our understanding so that we can have Your content inside. The peace of God. That we aren't continually wrangling with life and wondering why. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Using understanding and wisdom in our lives. You know, a lot of people are in a struggle every day. Not because they have to be, but just simply because the lust of their flesh has reached out after so many things, their job won't do it anymore. You know, that's not wise. You know, that puts a strain on the marriage. That makes it impossible to spend the time with our children. Makes it impossible for the Lord to call upon us to help out somewhere. And Lord, you look, I want you to go over here. I have a little something I want you to do. Makes it impossible, doesn't it? Well, if we're in that situation, we can't help it. We'll have to submit to the Lord those things. But I'll tell you, we don't want to be unwise, do we? Understanding the will of the Lord. Putting our life in good order and allowing God to do that. And so the wise man said, understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it. And so we're going to read a number of scriptures about those things. In Proverbs 4 and 7, I'm going to skip over some of these pretty fast. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, what's he mean, get wisdom and get understanding? How do we get something like that? That's not an easy thing to do, is it? How do I know what's wise? How do I know? Well, I believe the scriptures tell us that because the Lord wants to give us those things more than we have. He wants to give every one of us a greater portion than we have. And so he says, get wisdom, get understanding. Apply yourself to it. Let the Lord cause us to draw up close to him and understand, Lord, how do I understand more? Those things are very beneficial in our lives if we have understanding. I will tell you, there are people that are at a great disadvantage because they didn't get the natural teaching of understanding in the basic elements of life. And so it's easy to just bop here and there and run into this and that. And some of those things are learned by experience, aren't they? But doesn't the Lord also want to give us some real understandings that our life can have his peace about it and have some of those good things of God? I really believe the Lord wants to do that for us. And the Lord has a way. You know, the scriptures tell us, Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Do you know that God is a God of great order? He is. He put all that in place. It's not at random. He's up there with the controls. He put the thing in order and in place, didn't he? And he wants our lives to be in order and in place. Now, that doesn't mean that he's written a manual out that tells you everything to do every day. But I'll tell you what he has done. He's given us some things like wisdom and understanding that if we'll take advantage of it, it'll really bless our day-to-day life. Is that okay? Oh, the Lord help us today. I want to use this illustration, risking, I know, that it'll be too much to understand without really studying it a little bit. But first, you know, the chapel's address is 304 Lakeview Avenue, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Now, I've seen it written as 304 Lakeview Road. I've seen it written as, I don't know, at least three different things. I can't remember now what the others were. And if you put 304 Lakeview Avenue into Apple Maps, you know where you're going to go? You're going to go across the lake. We had a funeral here, and a minister was coming that had not been here before, and he was way late. You know why? Because he just simply didn't understand where we were. He landed up across the lake. So we waited and we waited until, and somebody was on the phone with him trying to get him back over here. You know, finally he made it to this place, to this location. But if you understand where it is, you just take the exit and go up to the light, the South Guthrie exit. Go up to the light and make the left. And you'll see the sign right on your left in about a quarter of a mile. How easy is that if you understand? If you have a little understanding of where it is, pretty easy, isn't it? Just whip right over here. Maybe, what, 2 minutes off the road? Maybe three? But if you don't understand, you can be 45 minutes late because you're rolling around trying to find it. The Lord has order. And I want to think about, I'm going to risk this. I didn't know this until I looked it up. But Tulsa, Oklahoma, that city was laid out with the north-south line called Main Street. The city was laid out from Main Street and the Frisco Railroad. This was back long years ago. When you go east of that Main Street, north and south Main Streets, when you go east of there, it starts with A, B, C, D, E, F, and it goes on that way. Those letters going that way are all named after cities east of the Mississippi River. And so all the streets east of Main Street are named after a city east of the Mississippi River. And all the streets on the west side of Main Street are named after a city on the west of the Mississippi River. And some of those are Boulder. Then the next one starts with C, Cheyenne, then Denver, and it goes like that. And so we see that when you go south of the Frisco Railroad, those streets are numbered first and second and third and fourth and fifth. And so if you have a little understanding and somebody tells you it's at First and Cheyenne, real close to that, You understand right away what part of that city that's in, don't you? Now, going north of that, those streets are named after Indians. Prominent Indians or prominent pioneers of the early days. And so that it starts A, B, C, D, going north. I didn't know that. Rosie's dad was a person that found a lot of... He could find his way in any city. And I guess when he went into a city, it made sense pretty fast to him how it was laid out. He just looked and he could see what was going on. And he found his way around a lot of places. They didn't have cell phones and GPS back then. Now we just type in GPS. And if it sends us across the lake, we go across the lake, don't we? And so, but you know what? When we understand things in life, it kind of tells us what quadrant we're in. Do you know when somebody begins to tell us some foreign information about marriage? It's so foreign today. Folks, it's a quadrant that's not in God's layout, isn't it? We know that. So we can instead of chasing that one down, we don't have to go there. We don't have to waste 10 years of our life going in the wrong direction. The Lord wants us to understand some things. He is a great God of order. And so many things in life, I've been amazed at how many things in life the Lord has put in place. And He wants us to use our senses, our spiritual senses, to be exercised, to understand the difference between good and evil. The difference in raising our children between good habits and bad. He wants us to understand the difference in our marriage between good and bad. You know, sometimes we've been raised in a way that we've been taught to react a certain way. It's very counterproductive to marriage, isn't it? But the Lord has a very good layout for all those kind of things. And if we can kind of get the quadrant, kind of figure out where, you know, it takes the Spirit of the Lord, doesn't it? But it takes more than that. It takes the Word of the Lord. And He wants to implant that in our life. He wants us to study the Word of the Lord. He wants us to understand a little about the good things of God. I've become amazed at how much God is consistent, how much He's a God of order, and how He wants to teach us some of those ways. And so in Proverbs 3 and 7, He says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do you know that the very first thing about the Lord is that we fear the Lord. We fear the Lord and we love Him. And do you know that that's some of the main cross junctures of God's way for us? Fear the Lord and understand His counsels. The Lord help us here this morning. He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. To depart from evil and fear the Lord. Do you know this morning, when it comes down to those questions of how I'm going to handle this business thing? Well, let's decide one thing first. I'm going to do it God's way. Now, I need to know what God's way is. But I'm going to do it God's way. I'm not going to take my way, and I'm not going to decide how I'm going to do it. Because in the flesh, yeah, we can take somebody out. We can. Might land up in prison for it, but we can take somebody out. But I'll tell you what, that's not God's way, is it? And it won't work well for us and those around us. So let's decide the first thing is to depart from evil and to find out God's way. Let's look for those things. Psalms 112:1 says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Did you know that is true? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. And I want to read what Clark says about that, because it's so interesting to me and so right to life, so real to life. He says, this seems to be the continuation of the preceding psalm. There it was asserted that the beginning of wisdom was the fear of the Lord. And here the blessedness of that man who thus fears is stated. It is not enough to fear God. We must also love Him. Fear will deter us from evil. Love will lead us to obedience. And the more a man fears and loves God, the more obedient will he be, till at last he will delight greatly in the commandments of his Maker. I don't know if you caught all that, but I will tell you this morning, the ways of the Lord, they tend to life. The work of the Lord in a soul is like the sun coming up. It begins maybe small sometimes, but it rises unto the full sun at noon. That's what the Scriptures tell us. And so this morning, I believe that if we will fear and love the Lord, folks, and give ourselves to that and our lives to that, I believe that at the last. Now, I know that maybe we should say at the first this should be the case. It wasn't that way for me. I had to grow in lots of things, and I still do. But till at last he will delight greatly in the commandments of his Maker. Don't you know? That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. He wants to lead us along, and He wants to teach us. Let's set ourselves and try to understand, Lord, how's this thing, how's your ways laid out? I know that it's not a scientific thing. I don't want to make it sound that way. It's not a scientific thing. But to fear the Lord and to begin to understand His ways, it just gives us a better feel for where things are, doesn't it? When something new comes along, we really don't always have to just take days and days trying to figure it out, do we? Because we already have a feel for the lay of the city. The lay of the city of God. The understanding of the ways of the Lord. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Did you know that's following that verse? I don't know that it's connected, but it sure does connect, doesn't it? The heart of the wise, it says, teacheth his mouth. This mouth has to be taught, doesn't it? Have you ever got in trouble with your mouth? Has anybody else besides me ever got in trouble with their mouth? Sure, probably all of us have. We just said it too quick. We said before we thought. You know what? The Lord wants us to, He wants us to teach this mouth. The Lord not only wants to save us and there be a real change of heart, but then He wants us to learn how to speak with things and people. Because we can be so ununderstanding. So uncouth. We can say the truth and hurt people unnecessarily. Or we can say the truth in love and save their soul. Is that true? Sure it is this morning. I'm not asking you to say yes. But I will tell you this morning, folks, let's understand those things. Pleasant words, goes on to say, are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, I know there's times of reproving and all those things, but pleasant words are, they're health to the soul. And the Lord wants us to learn how to use pleasant words this morning. They're a real blessing to one another. Harsh and grating and unkind words are one of the most foolish things we can do with our mouth. And the Lord wants us to teach our mouth. He wants us to teach our mouth to stand up and say something when it needs to be said in love. He wants us to teach our lips in those ways, doesn't He? Psalms 111 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I hope we just take that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. But it's not the ending. It's the beginning. It's that fear of the Lord that begins to help us to begin to search out His ways. Not in just fear, but in love. And Lord, I didn't realize how good Your ways were. I want to know them. I want to understand them. I want to know how to use them. And so we begin to do that. And then it goes on to say, "A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." You know, a good understanding, and I know that may be talking chiefly about His word right there, but the Lord wants us to have a good understanding this morning. Deal with ourselves in truth and honesty. Do you know the Scriptures teach us that? Now, we can deal with ourselves and say, well, they deserved it. You know what? Maybe they did. That wasn't the Lord's will for us. Deal with ourselves and learn to do that. It lies well within the quadrant, within the grid work, within the way that's laid out by God. That lies well in there. And He says here, "A good understanding have all they that do His commandments." Deal with the Lord in truth and honesty. And I already mentioned this, but I'll read it again. I've just put this in my notes. Even with our finances, in truth and honesty. It'll save us so much. Just the ways of the Lord, they work. And they really work well. And so, if we can just understand, I think we'll do well. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? That's Proverbs 16 and 16. I know we're about out of time. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Should I take this job? How does that work out? Lord, where does this lie? Well, let's ask ourselves some questions this morning. Will it allow me to be in services? That's a pretty pertinent question, isn't it? Maybe there's another better job that will allow me to be in services. And maybe it'll pay me just a little less money, but I can be in services. That'll be a blessing to us, won't it? Will this benefit my family and be a wholesome thing for them? How's that going to work out? What's it going to be like for my family and my everyday life? And how's this going to work out? Lord, how does it fit into your good work? What quadrant does this... Is there anything in your words that teach me anything about this? I'll tell you, he says, if man don't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. I know that may be referring to mainly financial things and food and those things, but I want to tell you, there's more than just that. They have emotional needs. They have spiritual needs. And the Lord expects us as men to help take care of those things. He expects us to stand there and be there in that place. When it's good, when it's hard, when it's bad, when it's lonely, when we don't really know what we should be doing hardly, he expects us, when we've done all, to stand and be a man. And the sisters, they have a place too in all of that. Oh, the Lord help us today. Are there temptations that I will unnecessarily put myself into in this job? Or is it going to be wholesome? You know, those are fair questions, aren't they? They relate to our life and our spirituality, and the Lord doesn't want us to be unwise. Should I marry this person? Are they a candidate for marriage? Are they saved? You're saved. They're not saved. If they're not saved, they're not a candidate. Did you know that? Scriptures teach that very plainly, and I can help you with that if you ever need it. Folks, listen. There's a layout in the Word of God, and it'll really help us and benefit us. It'll help us to know where we go rather than to get involved in a relationship and then realize I shouldn't be here. But the emotion and the love and all of those things whisk me on to get outside of God's will. What a mistake. Have they been married before? Folks, it's very important today. Those things are important questions to ask us. I want somebody that's qualified to get married. Is that all right? The scripture teaches us that there's one man and one woman for life, folks. Children, settle it in your minds, in your hearts. I'll never pursue a relationship to begin with that's not right. Is that okay? I know this is unpopular in today's world, but I want to tell you something. Find somebody that is in a place to be married. Find somebody, will they be a good provider for me? Are they going to be a housewife and a helpmeet? Or do they have completely goals of their own in life? I don't want to raise a family. Folks, those are important questions, aren't they? I think they are. It's in the grid work that the Lord laid out. Let's look for it. I understand Tulsa a lot better than I used to, just because I read that. I think I'll always know now where Yale is. I already kind of know, but I know that I know kind of where it is in the city. I know it's a north and south street now. I know it's on the east side of Maine. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants to reveal to us some things about our lives and about living our lives today. Oh, marriage is a big one. I heard Brother Austin say it only had like, one or two people that ever really listened to him when he gave them advice. No, don't do that. It only had one or two that said, okay, I'll take your advice. I've seen people stop what they were doing. But folks, once we get into it, it's really hard. And most of the time it don't happen. Choose somebody that's somebody that can be within that grid work of God's will this morning. Our children, do I brag on them? You better make sure they have good self-esteem. You better make sure and highlight those good things they do all the time, because there's a whole world bent to break them down. But folks, there's a place where we build pride into them. And then there's a place where we build self-esteem into them. Let's build self-esteem and forsake the pride. Cut it at every corner. Make sure they know the only reason you even have anything is because God gave it to you. And give Him all the glory and all the credit. And try to help people with what God has in gifted you with. Isn't that okay?
Yes.
Oh, this morning, it lies in the grid work of what God has put together. It lies within His Word. And as we fear Him and we learn His Word and we understand His ways, folks, it's very precious to us. And it becomes more precious than honey in the honeycomb. It becomes very sweet to our taste. How do I discipline my children? Folks, I want to tell us something this morning. I know we have a number of young families here. And all through my ministry, the ministry the Lord has given me, this has been one of the subjects that I've constantly tried to work with. I know I made my mistakes, but I learned a lot of things from those two. And I want to tell us something. The Lord's given us helps for things like that because we've never been there before. How do we know what to do? The Word don't tell me what to do every day, but I'll tell you what the Lord has told us. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. There is a great value in reaching out for counsel from those who have been successful, if you want to call it that. I will tell you this morning, folks, that is not something I'm going to say this because I lived that. I sat at the side of others for so many hours, I cannot tell you, picking their minds. Not because I didn't know 75% of what they said to start with, but it was that 25% that made the difference. It's very valuable. It's in the grid work. God put it in there. He laid the city out that way. He laid His plan out that way. I'm calling it a city. I'm just likening it to that, okay? And so He says, without counsel purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Oh, the Lord help us today that we will allow Him to do those things. The heart of the wise, Proverbs 16, teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Should I drink alcohol? Now don't laugh. There's a lot of Christian in the world, Christian people, so-called, that drink alcohol. And they feel like they have a biblical basis for it. But I want to tell you something. There's people that after the first drink, they're hooked. That's what they say. First drink and they're hooked. Is that wise then for us to do that? Is it wise when the Scriptures tell us and the wise man told us? He said, this is in Proverbs 23 and 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself up aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Don't go there. Don't ever take the first drink and you'll never take the second. These are things, folks, I know they're in some ways basic. Depart from selfishness. I've been told that all marriage troubles comes from selfishness. I believe that. Depart from selfishness. The things that make me happy and somebody else unhappy, maybe we can not be selfish and make them happy, and I can learn to bear with some things. Or maybe we can kind of come to an agreement in between. Is that right? Where everybody's happy as possible. And then we learn to submit ourselves and learn to be content, whatsoever state we are. Isn't that some of God's ways? Sure it is this morning. Oh, let's don't make any provision for the flesh. Depart from anything that's not wholesome this morning. That if it's not wholesome, depart from it. Oh, the Lord wants to bring peace into our hearts and our lives. I have a number of other things maybe I could go to. I'll just quickly wrap this up. But folks, oh, how the Lord wants to give us those good things. I spent quite a bit of time with Brother Veda McMillan at different times. He would come to our meeting real regular, and I got to spend quite a bit of time talking to him. And I've asked him different things about the will of the Lord and about, Lord, Brother Veda, what do I do about this? Because I was in business and all these things happening, and his advice, he said, if something draws you closer to the Lord, you know it's the Lord. That was kind of hard for me to fully accept because sometimes things took more time. And I realize that they do. But, you know, it's something to think about, isn't it? Something to put into the equation. How's it going to affect my spiritual life? Whatever it is. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And I will tell you, when understanding is not clouded by our own fleshly desires and without indulgences and unhealthy things, when our understanding is not clouded by those things, it'll be health to our life, health to our body, health to our soul. But our wisdom is so clouded, our understanding is so clouded, when we begin to let the flesh have its place in there. Let's don't forget that to depart from evil is understanding. Oh, how the Lord wants to give us those things. Lord, give me the tongue of the learned. Lord, give me the ear to hear. A wise man, why did the first Proverbs 1 and 5, why did the wise man say, a wise man will hear and will increase learning? It's part of the grid, isn't it? He didn't say a wise man is wise. He has a lot to teach people. That's not what he said. He said a wise man will hear. You look for somebody like that. They got their ears tuned to the way God's speaking through whoever it is. Maybe our spouse. Maybe our job. Maybe our circumstances. Maybe it's the Lord's voice. Maybe it's dreams at night that he's been giving us. I don't know how the Lord's been dealing with us all. But I'll tell you the Lord. Oh, how he longs to help us to be able to find where we're going. The Lord help me too. You pray for us. Amen.